Today, I'm giving you an update on my own perimenopause journey.
Hi, I'm Jessica Vallant, a physical therapist and Pilates teacher, and I want to bring science-based knowledge, empathy, courage, support, love, and hopefully some fun to the journeys we have with our bodies. There is hope and strength in your body, and my goal is to help you find it.
Hi, welcome back to Meet Your Body. I am so happy to have you here today. Today is not starting off the way that I planned. And how often can we say that? I feel like all the time. I am 46 years old and I feel like life is a constant journey of me learning and relearning that I don't really have all the control that I feel like I have in life. And we started today. I had a plan filming, recording. I have a follow-up doctor's appointment from my last surgery. And I had like some energy, I feel like just now. So I'm like almost 14 weeks after surgery and I'm just now starting to get some energy back. And so I'm like, yes, today's going to be one of those days I get things done. And we woke up to a destroyed garage door. We had a hit and run apparently in the middle of the night. I don't know. I have no idea what happened, but somebody had to have hit our garage door very, very, very hard. It is completely crumpled. There's glass everywhere. Our cars are stuck inside the garage. There's damage to our cars, but we can't see what the damage is yet until the garage door gets removed. We've been on the phone with insurance. I have filed a police report. oh my gosh. But I'm taking a moment to talk to you because I want to do it. It's on my list. My husband is cleaning out the garage right now. I have to run to my doctor's appointment after this, and then I will help him. And we have people coming to give us estimates. The biggest thing is getting the garage door taken away, the one that's crumpled, so we can actually get to our cars. It's just a whole thing. And how often do you feel like that happens? Not this specific thing, but that just you wake up and the day doesn't quite go the way that you thought it was going to go, but that's okay because we are resilient and we will figure it out. And I'm always learning new things. So today I'm going to be learning more about garage doors. But first, we are going to talk about perimenopause, and specifically, I'm giving you an update today about my own journey with perimenopause. So I released a podcast episode and a YouTube video probably about a year ago, maybe a little more than that, but about a year ago about my experience with perimenopause. And it was one of the most listened to podcast episodes. It continues to be, actually. And I realized that it is something we need to be talking about more because so many of us are going through this and we feel like we're going through it alone, or we feel like we actually don't know what we're going through, but something doesn't feel right. And the more and more I talk to friends especially, I'm realizing we are all experiencing some symptoms and going through perimenopause in some way, shape, or form. And then in Unlimited especially, we have continued to talk about it and we talk about menopause as well. And it's such an important topic that, again, doesn't get talked about enough. So I really want to shed light on it and I want to find some hope surrounding this. So to go along with today's podcast, in the next few weeks, we are going to be doing a series around this. So I'm going to give you my personal update today, and then next podcast, so next Meet Your Body podcast episode, I am bringing in an expert around this, and it's someone I have worked with personally with hormones and hormone testing. So we're going to be talking all about that on the Meet Your Body podcast, and then in Unlimited, May 2024. So if you're listening to this in real time, make sure that you sign up for Unlimited for May 2024. And I'll have the link below. You can join us because it's going to be our whole theme that month is around hormones and perimenopause and menopause. I'm going to release a new workout for you specifically around perimenopause. And then my hormone expert is coming in to answer Unlimited questions live. So we're going to have a Zoom call just for Unlimited members all around this issue. And we're going to answer all of your questions and do a deep dive. So again, I'll have the link below. But if this is something that's
that you are dealing with right now, something that you are living through right now, if you want to help have some strategies, and if you want to really, again, experience some hope around this as you go through this journey, make sure that you join us, especially in May 2024 in Unlimited. That link will be below. So let's get into my experience, because again, that's what I have to offer. I can be transparent and vulnerable here about it. And I thought it was just perfect timing before really doing a deeper dive in the next couple weeks. And as it's been, like I said, about a year since I talked about my own journey with perimenopause. So let me give you a little bit of context, but you can go back and listen to those previous episodes. So like I said, I am 46 years old right now. And it was about a year and a half ago, like 18 months, just before turning 45, that I started to notice some symptoms. And for me, it was like not sleeping as well at night, which I wake up a lot at night with prolapse issues and things, but it was a little bit different, like not being able to fall asleep at night and those kind of things. So I noticed that. My eyes changed, and I have always worn contacts, but my prescription changed tremendously. So that was one. My hair was thinning and breaking, especially like around my forehead. So I noticed that. And then I noticed that I had put on probably 5 to 7 pounds or so, which again, not completely unheard of and very normal. But typically that would kind of come and go, right? Like it would come on and it would go off and it would come on and go off and be around my cycle. And with endometriosis, that was very normal for me if I was in a flare and that kind of thing. But this I noticed came on and it wasn't going away. It just, again, was different. My clothes were fitting very different. Some things weren't fitting at all. And it was just something that I noticed. I'm like, huh, I wonder what's going on. And somehow it hit me. Oh, I think I might know what this is. And so I started doing my own research into perimenopause, which I honestly did not understand very well at all. And it kind of just came to me. It was like an aha moment of, yep, that's what's going on. This is what's happening. So again, my birthday is in December. And so this was probably like September-ish, October of 2022. Also at that time, I was coming off of a year of really, really working on my chronic stress and anxiety, which heightened a lot in 2020. And again, I have podcast episodes about that, so I won't get into it necessarily, but I had been really focusing on that for all of 2022, which I think allowed me to have open eyes for some of these other symptoms that were going on. So I will say, and I said this recently in Unlimited, we did a whole coffee chat around a certain subject, and I talked about how sometimes you don't really know what's going on until you get your house in order. I think those were the words I used. Meaning you have to kind of do one thing at a time and work on the basics before you can even decipher what the next step should be or what might be happening. So for me, I happen to really be working on that stress and anxiety, kind of the chronic stress, the fight or flight I had been in for a while. I purposely did a lot during that year to work on that. And it was so important. And I think it then allowed me to see with more clear eyes some of these other symptoms that were happening. And it allowed me to say, oh, there is one more kind of underlying thing that might be happening here, which again was, I believe, perimenopause. So that all kind of came to me at the end of 2022, beginning of 2023. So in January 2023, I said, you know what? I want to meet with someone. I'm going to meet with a hormone expert and I want to have a Dutch test done, which we'll get into that next week. Okay. I'm going to have a lot of questions for our expert around that. But I had had a Dutch test before, which tests all your hormone levels, but it had been like a year and a half or so. And I knew I wanted to have it done again. That was one of my goals. So in January, 2023, I had it done. I was able to kind of figure out some of the things that I personally needed to work on, what my levels were, and I went from there. So again, I wanted to give you kind of that context of what was happening. So my goals after having the testing done and speaking with some people and just doing my own research and looking at my own life, my goals and the things that I started working on around January, so a bit like just over a year ago, was one, doing some morning walks specifically for sunlight in my eyeballs, sunlight directly into my eyes. That was my goal, like 10-minute morning walks to help set my rhythm for the day. It can help with sleeping at night. It can help with testosterone and hormone regulation. So that was one thing I knew I could do. But also for me, it made sense because I'm in front of the computer so much and it was hitting me how much I'm in front of screens, and I wanted to start my day with sunlight. And a lot of times, like if you just drive to work in the morning or you drive kids to school in the morning, you're going to get that automatically. But with our schedule, I don't. I do pickup in the afternoon. I don't do drop off in the morning. So I really go from waking up, getting the kids totally ready to go to school, and then straight down to my computer. So that morning walk was a big thing. So that was about a year ago. I added those. I specifically worked on increasing protein that I was eating. I am notoriously not great at that, and I specifically made a goal to increase my protein intake. I continued to have a goal of not working at night because, again, all through 2020, 2021, even into 2022, kids went to bed, and I would work for 2 hours straight at night, just work, go to bed late, wake up, work when they were at school. So I specifically made a goal, and that was a part of my stress relief too, and trying to help with my sleeping. And then a big one was I specifically focused on walking more. I wanted to up my steps. So I felt like my workouts themselves were in an okay place. But what I was realizing, again, with how much computer work I do, that there would be days that I would send the kids off to school, I would sit down, edit, do emails, record podcasts, all of that. Then I would just go do a 45-minute workout. Then I'd come back, sit, and then I'd pick them up and do all of the rest of my day with them. So while I was getting a structured workout in, I didn't have really any other activity, believe it or not, unless it was a filming day. I wasn't doing a lot of just movement. And so that was a really big specific goal I had. Okay, so that was a little over a year ago. Those are the things I added. Now, to give you a little more context, because I want to tell you how I am now and how it's all worked. In December, as you all know, 2023, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So my entire goal and everything around perimenopause was completely forgotten. Like completely. My life was turned upside down. And my only goal for my health was that, dealing with that diagnosis and doing that surgery and preparing for surgery and healing from surgery. So it's really just now, like 3.5 months after surgery, that some of that dust is settling, that I had this awareness of, oh yeah, and that's something else my body's dealing with. I had forgotten that I was in perimenopause. And I do think that I am further into it now. Now that I'm looking back, all through last year, I knew when I was cycling. So I had a hysterectomy, for a little more context, in 2019. I had one ovary taken. So I kept an ovary. So I continued to cycle. And I know I was, and my endometriosis told me when I was. But I will say, I can't put my finger on a time I've cycled in the last 4 or 5 months, but also that very much could be diagnosis and stress and surgery, just not having the awareness of it. So it's possible. So I'm still in perimenopause. I don't believe I am in menopause. I also think that I am deeper into perimenopause because I think my cycles are farther apart. But to be honest, that's really just unsure, because with so much stress and all the changes in my body with my diagnosis and my surgery, I really don't know. I don't know what all of that is coming from. So I think I'll know more in a couple months. But I do want to tell you, despite all of that and the confusion over the last few months, kind of how I am now and how some of those tools have been working for me. So I'm going to start with the tool that I believe without a doubt has helped, and it is walking. You guys know I love walking. I always have. And I will say, until about that year and a half time ago, it was more like, I'm just going to walk when I can, when I have time. I love it. And it's just going to be this added thing. Then when I kind of realized I was in perimenopause and really made a specific goal for it, I really said, I want to try to get 10,000 steps a day. And that is an arbitrary number. Okay. So I don't believe that there's a magic to that number, but I just wanted to have that goal of knowing where I was and adding that extra activity, because just inherently, I really felt that the sitting, and then 45 minutes of specific workout, and then sitting, that wasn't helping me. Like, I inherently knew that I needed more activity in some way. Now, notice, I'm not saying that I needed harder workouts. I didn't feel with my workout schedule, which I felt was really good. Okay, I follow the unlimited workout plan. I lift weights 2 to 3 times a week. I do Pilates 1 to 2 times a week. I do one day of steady state cardio per week. I do stretching and mobility. I have that really good balanced program. Okay, so that I knew was in place. What I didn't have was that extra movement during the day, what we call NEAT. It's this idea that you're moving throughout the day without a specific focus on exercise. And for me, just inherently, I felt like I needed to be doing more of that. So I specifically added more steps. That's what works for me. Maybe for some people, it's adding more gardening, adding more something, but just moving my body more in addition to my structured workout time. So I didn't take away or change my structured workouts. I added walking, more steps. And that, I think, maybe more than anything, has made a difference. And the more research I do and the more reading I do and the more case studies I look at, it is happening across the board for women, especially during this time in our 40s, in our 50s, even into our 60s. That can make such a big difference. So that is definitely something I'm going to continue doing. I think it makes a big difference. Again, it doesn't take the place of my other workouts. I'm not going to walk instead of use dumbbells, but I'm going to do both. I'm going to try to add that extra activity on top of my workout. Now, knowing, yeah, it takes time. I mean, all of this stuff takes time. It's amazing how much time it can take to take care of yourself. And so we don't always have that extra time. And if you don't, like I can typically add a 30-minute walk to my other things. But the days that I can't, I just focus on where else can I walk. Like, I will get to school pickup 15 minutes early and walk around the school or walk around the neighborhood until pickup time. I will try to add things like that throughout the day. I'll make sure that I'm walking all the way upstairs to do laundry and all the way back downstairs. That adds up and makes a difference. So that has helped me a ton. So I'm going to say that's the number one thing. Another thing that has helped is really working on sleep. Now, the crazy thing is perimenopause and menopause, perimenopause especially, one of the symptoms is an inability to sleep. Like, we have insomnia, it's hard to fall asleep, we wake up in the middle of the night. So it can feel like an added stress to say, oh, I'm working on getting more sleep. For me, it is this, again, kind of the context around it. When I took away the stress of knowing I had to go back and work more every night, that helped a lot. I just feel more restful knowing that, oh, I can just get the kids to sleep and enjoy that time with them. I love reading them books. I love doing that. It's really, it has always been one of my favorite things of the day, is that whole bedtime routine with them, reading books. And then I read my own book while I help get them to sleep. And I look forward to that now. Like, it's a really restful idea to me. I love it because I've taken away the stress of then more work that I have to do at night once they're asleep. So that has just helped me feel more restful at night. I really specifically try to get upstairs by a certain time. And we're more late night people because the kids go to bed at a certain time. We have things we're going to do at night. My husband and I, it's our time together, right? To sit on the couch together for an hour. But I specifically work on trying to get upstairs at a time that I can get 7.5 hours of sleep. Like, 7.5 hours of good sleep is great. If I can get 8, I am stoked, but that doesn't usually happen. 7.5, I'm happy. So things like that have helped me. Again, I can't force myself to sleep, because sometimes my brain doesn't let me or my body doesn't let me, but I can do the things around bedtime and at night that help me feel more calm about getting in bed and sleeping versus more stressed about it. And that's what's helped me quite a bit. Another thing that has helped is getting more sunlight, like I said. And whether it's in the morning, I love doing that. But honestly, for the past 4 months since my diagnosis, I have not. I haven't gotten up and done that in the morning. But it does help when I do. But just having more sunlight in general, getting out for my walks, sitting outside for 5 minutes, using my red light therapy device, I think has helped a ton, especially when I can't get outside or just for general healing. My red light therapy I do like quite a bit. So those things have helped me a lot. And then kind of the final thing is adding that protein helps as well. I just can't comment a lot on it because I'm not great at it. Again, I'm going to blame it a little bit on my diagnosis and surgery, which threw my appetite into a complete whirlwind. I either didn't want to eat or I could only get down certain things. So my protein has not been very good and I'm getting back to it. But what I can say is I definitely notice a difference when I don't get it. When I don't eat enough or I don't eat enough protein, I notice my muscles feel different. Like I am more sore. My joints are more sore. Things hurt more. My workouts are harder. So it's something I want to continue to focus on. And to be honest, I'm not doing great right now, but I'm going to continue to work on it. So those are the things that have helped me. And I will continue to add things if I feel like there are things to add. I am a big believer in not adding too much at once. And I tell all my physical therapy clients this too. I mean, there are 1,000 things that you can add in life for various things, right? We can add acupuncture, massage, we can see a nutritionist, we can see a functional medicine doctor, we can add exercise, and then we can look at the myriad of different types of exercise we can add. And all of a sudden, there's so many things that our brain shuts down from the choices and we don't do anything because we're overwhelmed. I tell people add about three things, pick three things that are your priority things. And we can get more into this next week too with our expert and in Unlimited when we dive into it to talk about what maybe the top three things would be from their perspective. But I tell people pick about three that feel doable in your life at any given time. For me, those three, like one always happens to be movement, and that's going to change. Like after surgery, the type of movement I could do is very different than it was a year ago versus 2 years ago versus 6 months from now. But movement is one big category for me. That's one thing that will always be included. And then the other two will sometimes change. It was massage for a while. And then again, after surgery, that changed. And right now it's my physical therapy for surgery. That's one of my categories that has to be done. And then my other category maybe is sleep. Or maybe sometimes I'll get sleep under control and I can trade that out for protein, right? So see if that makes sense that you just add maybe three at a time. And once one of them becomes habit, you can add another one or give it 3 months. And if it doesn't help, add a different one. But don't get overwhelmed. Start with a few things. Maybe you can add steps to your day every single day and see if that helps. If you don't have a current workout plan at all, add one. Jump into Unlimited. Follow our workout calendar. Add some dumbbells. All of that will make a difference. Or maybe you just need to work on that stress level, getting your chronic stress down so that your body then can even handle anything else that you bring to it. But that has helped me a lot, is just adding those things kind of one at a time. And I'll continue to reassess because, like I said, I think just now I'm coming a little bit out of the surgery fog. I'm finally starting to recover. Finally starting to get some energy levels back. So I'll know a lot more in the coming months on what is affecting me, what else I need to add. I will have more hormone testing done as needed. Again, probably like maybe in a year. I think it's good to follow up on it. I'll keep working on that. But those are the things that I feel like have worked for me in the past year. Those are the things that I will continue to work on. And what I've seen, like the actual changes, because I know some of you will ask, so actual changes I've seen, some of those like 5 to 7 pounds that had come on, it definitely has come down. I don't know if I'm back to my original weight, but to be honest, I don't know what that weight was because it fluctuates so much and I'm not on a scale most of the time. But I know some of that has come down, like my clothes are fitting a little bit more normal again. So I can say that. My mood has stabilized. And again, whether it's the sunlight or honestly working on my stress, journaling more, going back to some of my therapy kind of principles that I had years ago, I think that has helped my mood a lot. And so that has changed. That's helped. My sleep really comes and goes. And again, I can't give you a good guide on that simply because I mean, I was on pain meds for a good amount of time after surgery. I couldn't sleep at all. And then I slept really deep and it's all over the place. So I'll have to give you an update on sleep because I don't know. But I do think it comes and goes and I'm used to that. Like at least before surgery, I noticed that when I was cycling, my sleep was worse. And then in between cycles, I would sleep better. So I think one thing, like one thing that I've learned throughout this is just to give myself so much grace. I'm not alone in this journey. You are not alone in this journey. We're learning about it. We're learning about ourselves. We're learning about our bodies. So give yourself grace on this journey and know it will change. It just will. You won't stay this way forever. Use the tools that you have. Keep changing things up as needed. Don't just sit with it and think you have to accept it, but also know it is a normal part of life. It is. These bodies are miraculous. They truly are. And even perimenopause and menopause are a part of that miracle, even if we don't understand it or even if we don't like it sometimes. It's a part of that miracle. And so I'm going to continue to give myself grace through it. I'm going to continue to reach out to friends and other people in the community going through it so I know I'm not alone. I'm going to find joy. I'm going to focus on what I can do. I'm going to keep feeling strong in my body. And I encourage you to do the same. So remember, if you're listening to this in real time, join us in Unlimited, where you'll get a deeper dive into all of this. And I'll have a lot of these links below. And I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me today on Meet Your Body. If you have a moment, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast as it helps us tremendously. For more resources and workouts, you can visit my website, jessicavallantpilates.com, or find me on YouTube or Instagram at jessicavallantpilates.